This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. Randy Lewis's annual barn dance has been a gathering place for the people of Alamance County for more than 50 years. The square dancing and heel kicking are living relics of a simpler time in North Carolina's agricultural industry. But the Great Recession forced dairy farmers like Randy to find new ways to save those traditions. Many went out of business. Lewis and a handful of others stopped falling further into debt by bottling their own milk. But what remains to be seen is whether cultural traditions like the barn dance will stay alive.
At this stage in the game in my life, I can't imagine not having the dairy, not having the dances, and not living in my house. If one falls, they all fall.
That's from a forthcoming documentary called The Last Barn Dance, which chronicles Randy's fight for the farm and the traditions that come with it. And Randy joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Randy.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Also with me are Jason Arthurs and Ted Richardson. They are the co-directors of The Last Barn Dance. It premieres in North Carolina on May 31st at the Haw River Ballroom in Saxapahaw. Jason and Ted, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Phoebe.
Randy, how long has your family been farming in Alamance County and putting on these dances?
Well, we can't really find all the records, but as far as I know, my great-great-grandfather got the land from somewhere, and so I'm the fifth generation on the land.
And these dances have been going on for as long as you can remember there?
Well, yeah, they moved they had dances in my house. They'd move the furniture out of the front room, and the band would play out in the hall, and people would dance in the room. And then 1943, they built the big gamble roof barn that we live in, that we dance in. And they had a dance in it before they ever put hay in it the first time. And those barn lofts were big and open and a good place to dance, so I guess in our community and maybe in other places, they've been dancing in them, you know, ever since.
Can you give us an idea of how large your farm is, the size of your farm, and how many cows do you have?
I own 110 acres, and then we rent about another 100. So I farm a couple of 100 acres, and then we have all total. We milk about between 70 and 80 cows, and all total we've probably got 150.
And so during the day and during most of the week, you're dealing with milking cows and the ins and outs of running a farm. But when you do have these barn dances, what happens? Will you explain one of them for those who aren't familiar?
Well, that's a pretty long day. It starts at 2 o'clock in the morning. We started some years ago having a pig picking to go along with the dance. So I figure you ought to do something for your community. So we feed everybody, anybody that shows up gets to eat, whether you do anything or not, whether you dance or listen to music. So, you know, we cook barbecue all day, and then about we have a group of people that come in, and they know what to do. We've been doing it so long. Everybody comes up. They all got the same job. I don't even have to worry about it anymore. Everybody just comes and does it. It all falls together. There's very little planning.
And what time does the band start playing?
They play about 8. They show up about 6, get set up, eat supper. And then we all converge in the barn about 8. I'm usually 15 or 20 minutes late because I'm working, and then I have to get cleaned up a little bit. So I'm usually a little late to the dance.
8 o'clock the music starts. How long does it go on for?
Until about midnight. We dance for about 4 hours.
I bet that's all you can take.
When I was 20, I danced from the time the music started till the music stops. Now I'm a little more tactical about how I dance.
Yeah, but I saw you dancing in this film, and you still got it seems to me.
Well, it's the most fun thing I do. I love to dance. I'm not the best dancer in the world, but I love to dance. So for me, it's a lot of fun.
How has running a dairy farm changed in the last few decades?
Well, it's when I was a kid growing up with my grandmother, if you did a fairly decent job managing, looking after your cows, you could make a living at it. But now, as everything's turned into this economy of scale, the dairy industry has essentially left little people behind. We can't buy our feeds as cheap. We don't get paid on the same pricing system. So it's really as dairy farms have got bigger and more volume is required, the little people just get left behind. As you know, the case in most anything.
And when the Great Recession started, did you really start to see the real impacts of this?
Well, we had done very well for 3 or 4 years before that, and we had made some money, and we actually had I had enough money to come within just a little bit of paying my mortgage off. And then 2009 came, and I lost my life savings, and then we've had to borrow some money, but we probably lost $150,000 in 2 years. And that money, I don't think I'll ever get back. I mean, it took 30 years to get it. And, unless this milk bottling thing goes really, really well, I don't know that I'll ever see that again.
Jason, how did you find Randy and decide to tell his story?
Well, Randy and Ted actually were friends, and they've known each other for a long time. So I met Randy through Ted, and Ted can tell the story about how he actually met Randy on a photo assignment for the Winston-Salem Journal.
Yeah, I think this was back in 2004. I had an assignment from the Winston-Salem newspaper to go to Randy's farm, and the story was about the band, the Doc Branch Band, and they still play for these dances. And they had received some National Heritage Award, and I photographed and had so much fun that I kind of crashed the party the next 2 years. Randy let me come back and just enjoy the dances. And at some point, Randy told me that he had no photos or video of the dance, and I offered to start photographing so that there was some record of the event that drew so many people in the community together.
So when the idea for the documentary originally started, was it about the barn dances or was it about Randy's farm and what was going on?
It started with just covering the dances. And then as I heard from Randy, some of the struggles that he was going through on the dairy farm, the story grew. And I think it became more interesting in a way to look at the big picture because, as Randy says in the film, it's all tied together.
Randy, you mentioned this, but one of the ways in which you are keeping this whole thing alive is by now bottling your own milk. Where did that idea come from?
Well, it started, actually, my niece and I kind of cooked up this idea. We wanted to make yogurt to start with. And so we were starting down this path, and she was tragically killed in an automobile accident. And so I just forgot about the whole thing because I knew I couldn't do it by myself. We couldn't make yogurt, and we got a grant. She had filled out a grant application about 2 weeks before she died. And when the time came for that grant application to be turned in, the people at Raffi knew that we were doing this. So they put it together and they encouraged me to turn it in. So if you want, we really left it up to the fates. I just decided if I got the grant, that would start funding the milk plant. We'd move. And if I didn't get the grant, I was going to quit. I mean, I'd had enough. Lost enough money, I was going to quit.
And we see in this film, in this documentary, that once you start to get all of the pieces together to do this bottling, I mean, this is an easy thing. You're really teaching yourself, and your milk is spilling all over, and you're really learning as you go.
Yeah, it's a process. I was on a really steep learning curve.
What was it like though when you filled that first bottle up and put your label on it and closed it up?
That was for a lot of reasons, I really hadn't thought much about it. I don't know. I just felt like if anything was going to save the farm, that this was it. You know, the land's not really in jeopardy, but my way of life is. You know, we can sell everything and keep the farm, keep the land. I'd have a house and a place to live. But for me, I grew up with cows. I chased my grandmother around, you know, from the time I was old enough to run, pretty much. And it's been sort of, it would be quite a change for no cows. I love cows. I like to be around them. I like the way they smell. I like the way they feel. I love cows. So it would be hard for me to be without cows.
One of the other ways in which you make money that we see is that you get requests, and you got a request to conduct a housewarming warming story with these, as you say, very gentle creatures. Will you tell us about it?
Yeah, I have a friend that's a real estate agent in Raleigh, and she got a request, I guess he's from an Indian couple that were very traditional people, and they said it's good luck to have a cow come through your house and bless it. So they contacted me. This one agent contacted another one because they knew somehow or another that I had cows. So they contacted me, and I said, well, sure, you know, I'll try anything once. And we got old Ashby on the trailer and carried her to Raleigh or to Morrisville, and she did just fine. They did all kinds of things to her, colored her up and showed her a coconut. We tried to get her to eat a banana. She didn't like the banana too good.
You brought this cow in the house.
We let her right in the house, and she don't care. She's an old show cow. She don't care. She's just we let her in, and she just stood there. And we led her from room to room, and they had some ceremony that they went through, and it all went very, very well.
I think I'll ask this question to you, Jason and Ted, because I don't know if Randy will answer it, but what I saw watching this was just how remarkably hard this man works, and how running this dairy farm, just the level of mud that you're trying to get through, looks like an awful lot of work. What can you say about that and watching this dairy try to survive?
I think there's no one that works harder than Randy, and we all saw it firsthand. And you know, Ted and I will complain after a long day of shooting, and then I'll get home and realize Randy was up probably 6 hours before me milking cows and chasing them around, and there's just so many things that go on there. And, you know, Randy was our inspiration all along for this film, because he's a hard worker and he doesn't give up. And he says he was about to quit. And I've never heard you say that before, but maybe you were. But, you know, he's a fighter and, you know, he's stuck with what he's trying to do on the dairy. And it really did inspire us to stick with him throughout. We've been working on this film for almost 4 years. So.
And Ted, you know, we see all this hard work, but then we get to see what happens when these dances go on. And it seems to me to be absolutely not only a break, but also this community celebration. What was it like to be let into this community?
I mean, it drew me in. I don't think you can go to one of these dances and not want to go back. And I think there are fewer and fewer opportunities in our community for people to come together around something that's purely analog, not digital. And it's a real gathering point for that community. And Randy's invited people from outside the community to come in. So it would be a shame and a tragedy, I think, almost to lose that.
But why document it? Is it because you are saying that there's a chance that this isn't going to survive, that this is a dying thing?
The clues to that possibly happening to me were the band's getting a little older. The barn has certainly gotten older. There's a scene in the film where Randy's propping up the beams underneath the hayloft, and no one's quite sure if they're going to get through the set.
The floor is going up and down like a trampoline. It's just you're watching it move under all of the weight of the dancing.
But I think that scene of Randy propping the hayloft up is somehow symbolic of him trying to prop his way of life up right now.
Randy, how is business doing?
Well, we're doing okay. We've got started the milk plant sort of paying its own bills right now. We've got some new businesses that are fixing to take over. We got some Lowe's stores in the Winston-Salem area that we're going to get into here very shortly, and we're working with a four-state distribution company. We're trying to get through the final inspections to get in with Southern Foods, and they'll put our milk into restaurants. And that's what I thought all along, that our non-homogenized cream top milk, I thought it would be very good for restaurants. And there are some wanting it. We've had a number of requests. We just got to get our inspections in line. For North Carolina, we're fine, but to ship it out of state, you have to go through a different inspection system.
And all of this is so you see this as you're trying to put together all of the bottling equipment, the pasteurizer. This has to be just pristine and clean, and it's amazing the lengths that you have to go through to make sure that everything is in working order. We see this, the pasteurizer is breaking, and you're trying to fix it.
Yeah, and it just left this morning, actually. We're putting in a new one now, a bigger one now. We're expanding. So everything's inspected. Everything has to be clean. You know, the last thing any of us want to do is make anybody sick. So that's the one thing that we look after from the time we walk in the door to the time we leave is we make sure everything's clean, it's done by the book. We don't cut any corners, and our milk's fresh. There's a lot of days it'll be in the cow one day, and it'll be in the store the next. And that's pretty hard to come by in today's, you know, situation.
And it's kind of like the old way, right? Where for years you were selling it off and it was going somewhere else and they were bottling it. But now it's going back to the way you imagine your grandfather and grandmother were doing this, putting it in a bottle and selling it to the people who wanted it.
Well, they used to sell barnyard milk, and they sold cream off the farm years ago. That was back when they first started. That would have been in the 40s, actually, before they started selling grade A milk. So, yeah, it is. It's kind of a, you know, everything goes, you know, what goes around comes around, and it's kind of run full circle. We, you know, it started on the farm, and then a lot of the merchandising went away from it, and now we're trying to get it back.
Well, this whole idea of farm to table is becoming so popular now. You've gotten in at the right time.
We certainly hope so.
I'm speaking about the documentary The Last Barn Dance today on the state of things. Randy, you said that if the dairy, the dances, or your house fall, they all fall. Why is it all so intertwined for you?
Well, I don't know. It's just my life. I mean, you know, when you're self-employed and you work where you live, everything is when I walk out the door, I go to work. It's not, you know, the barn's 50 yards from the house. So, you know, it's not far. When I walk out the door and look, I see work. When I walk in the house, my office is the kitchen table. So, you know, everything is there. It's all I know. My whole life is in a very, very tight circle.
And what's it going to take? What do you think it will take over these next few years to keep the dairy going and to keep the dances going?
Well, our bottling process is what's going to do it, or it'll make it or break it with that, because the dairy can no longer survive on its own. We don't have the resources. We don't have enough land to milk enough cows. And to be honest, I can't look after the cows as well as I'd like to with larger numbers anymore. So, you know, we want to size the herd to the size of our land so that we can, you know, we need to do a really good job looking after the cows. The cows are what pay the bills, and they're also my buddies.
Yeah, they seem like your buddies. You know them all, and they certainly follow you around, and you know how to handle them.
Yeah. A cow, like I said, I think like a cow. I understand cows. There's people who understand things about one thing and another, but I understand cows.
What's the one thing we need to know to understand a cow?
Well, I don't know. Look at their eyes. If you want to walk by a cow and her not move, don't look at her. But if you're trying to figure out where she's going, look at her eyes, because they tell the tale.
These barn dances happen all year, or do you have them in the spring? What's the season for a barn dance?
Well, it used to be we had two a year, year in and year out, spring and fall. That was just like clockwork, but... Anymore, like I said, the band's getting older, and it's a little harder to get everybody arranged. So it could come any time. Whenever we can get things lined up. I think we had the last one at the house in June.
Are you itching for it? Do you feel like?
Well, we're all sort of, the band members will pretty much tell you themselves. The reason that they keep coming is their kids. When they started coming, they have, there's 10, the brothers have 10 children. And the oldest child was in diapers the first year they came. He did not come. The next year, he did come, and he was running around. I've got pictures of him in my barn loft, really in a diaper, running around. And now there's been 10 more since then. And the youngest one is a year and a half. So they're from like 30. John's 30 or 31 or 32. And a little Mary Ruth was born about a year and a half ago. And she came to a dance. I called a dance at a party the night that the day they brought her home from the hospital. She came to a dance, so she grows up. She's in it too. So those kids are the reason that the band keeps coming, because they all worry them, and they all love to come. Most of the time, the kids come too.
Well, we can't tell you exactly when the next barn dance will be, but maybe sometime soon.
We hope it's soon. Yeah, maybe in June. We're hoping.
Randy Lewis is the owner of the Ranlew Dairy Milk Company and the subject of the documentary The Last Barn Dance. Randy, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Jason Arthurs and Ted Richardson are the co-directors of the film. Thank you to both.
Thanks for having us.
Just ahead, the emerging oyster industry on the coast of North Carolina. Stay tuned.